We're going to take the reading this afternoon from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and following. You are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you once lived following the age of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the desires of the flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. So no one may boast, for we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, for the good works that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them. The word of the Lord. And so today, as we focus on the mercy of God, Paul reminds us right from the very beginning, you were destined for wrath. Aren't you excited? That all of us are, we can't do anything for ourselves. We can't do anything. We can't boast about anything. We can't talk about how great we are and how great we do things and all this stuff. We were all destined for wrath. God is clear. But God is rich in mercy. This is the scripture that we use for our Divine Mercy Encounter Retreat Program. God is rich in mercy. To remind us, and even when, again, when we were first starting the focus on what we were going to do, you know, last month was our 25th anniversary for the Divine Mercy Encounter. It used to be called TECH, or the Divine Mercy TECH. And so I remember we're all sitting there, and we brought it into the diocese, and we're talking about what we should call it. And then I just said, we're going to call it Divine Mercy. Divine Mercy. Want everyone to come. When they come on this retreat, I want them to experience the mercy of God. Not the judgment of God. All they have to do is meet anyone who calls themselves a good Catholic, and they'll experience that. You know, come here, I'll tell you about the judgment of God. You're all going to hell. Please. I still have parishioners like that. I don't know if you know any of them. Hopefully, maybe not. But I still have parishioners that like to focus on the damnation, how God's going to get us if we don't change. God's going to get us if we don't change. You got that. But, like I've often said, when someone comes to me with that, I do things just to make them mad. I do. You know, and if I'm like that, and I have grace inside of me, and I know the mercy of God, if I do that, how much more sinners who don't know God? Sinners who have never experienced the love of God. Pagans who wouldn't even think about the God. And then they meet one of us and we tell them about the damnation that awaits for them if they don't change. And they go, okay. Like I used to say that to my prep kids, you know that. Because I've always been one of those damnation type priests. And I said, son, if you don't do that, you know you're going to hell. And you know what one kid said to me once? That's okay, Father. All my friends will be there. That's what they did. Remember the Billy Joel song from years ago? You know, the good die young, and in that line, and there's one line, he says, I would rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. So the people who don't know God, they think that this God's going to send them to hell anyway, or they're never going to have any fun, and if they do have fun, they're going to hell, so they figure, I'm going to have some fun anyway. That is living by your impulses, living in the flesh. And again, if you do that, you will die. But the reality is, you'll die because the God of mercy, in his mercy, will give you what you want. And it's not him. So this loving, loving God would never force himself in any of us. But if we proclaim the mercy of God, that'll bring everyone to their knees. Because the mercy of God is the unconditional love of God. And what changes us is love. You know, as we were singing the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and it's a great place when you're right there getting to kneel right before Jesus, especially the image of Divine Mercy. Now, you know, when Jesus says, I want you to have a picture drawn of me, and she cried because nobody could get the picture right, how could anybody get the picture right of God? But the one who did this one, the original one, she said it was the closest. And what's so great about this picture, and there's so many pictures of Divine Mercy. This is the one I've had in the old form on still my bedroom wall. First thing I see every morning, last thing I see every night. I got from my grandmother because she had it. But the biggest difference between this one and all the other ones, this was the original one, is if you look at the eyes of Jesus, the eyes of Jesus aren't looking out. They're looking down. And when they ask her, why is the eyes or the eyes of Jesus looking down? And she said, because that is how he looked on the cross. On the cross, when he was suffering and dying, he was looking at you and me. Can you imagine? You would think this God of the universe, as he was dying, would be looking up to his Father. But he was looking to us because he was doing it for you. He was dying for your sins, for my sins. And so he thought of you on the cross. He thought of me on the cross. Have you ever thought about that? That on the cross, while he's dying and suffering, when I get sick and when I'm suffering, like when I just had my kidney stone, I was focused on myself. Hope this passes. Hope it's not going to hurt much longer. Oh, I don't like this. God, could you help me, please? I almost went into shutdown. But God, on the cross, didn't go into shutdown. He looked at you. He loved you. He wanted you to be saved. Oh. What a thought that our God would look and think of you and me as he was suffering on the cross and not at himself and his pain. So, can any of us ever just sit there and think, well, you know, God doesn't really love me, he just kind of puts up with me. And he's looking at you from the cross and he's saying, what? Excuse me? I don't love you? I'm dying here. I'm suffering. I am in the greatest pain most people have ever experienced. And I look at you with great love because I want you to be with me forever. Oh, just meditate on that all day. When you go home, when you're thinking, when you're feeling bad about how sinful you are and how bad you are, and you know you're not a good person, and oh, what am I going to do? Look at the Divine Mercy image and think that he looked at you while he was dying for your sins. He gladly took your sins and my sins, and he paid the price. I don't think we get it. We don't get that he paid the price for our sins. Again, yesterday, I was in Dallas hearing confessions of the men before I left to get back on the plane. And I can't tell you how many people would again and again, and they would come in, and even after I told them, don't do this, but people don't listen to me anyway, as we all know. But I'd say, don't you come in and talk about these sins that you have confessed 1,000 times and that you've never done them since, but they get that line, no one here has done this. Father, I don't feel forgiven. And I say to them, you'd come into this confessional and spit on Jesus on the cross? Well, no, Father, of course not. Well, you just did. You don't feel forgiven? When he already paid that penalty for your sin when you confessed it? Have you done it since? No, Father, I just don't feel. I don't feel. I don't care how you feel. Jesus paid for that sin. He looked at you as he was dying, and he took care of it. Instead of you for the rest of your miserable life looking at yourself and thinking, I don't feel forgiven, you say thank you to Jesus for dying for you. Okay, Father. I don't know what okay, Father. I want you to promise me you're never going to say it again in confession unless you do it again. Okay, Father, I promise. I want you to promise me that you're going to stop wallowing in your selfishness and wallowing in your self-pity and never again think about your past sins again, because Jesus on the cross has paid the penalty and they're gone forever. Do you promise? Okay, Father, now settle down. I know I can get quite crazy about these things. Yesterday I was really hard on these guys. One guy came up to me, Father, and he says, Father, I always thought you were nice. You can be harsh. Yes, I know. Thank you. But the harshness comes to push into people's minds enough of your focusing on self. Just enough. I want you to look at Jesus. I want you to look at the love that he has for you. I want you to look at what it cost him. And I want you to start living a grateful life. You should be telling everybody, I should be telling everybody, the mercy of God, the love of God, that I was saved by not what I did, because if I'm saved by what I have done, we all know where I deserve to go. And I know where you deserve to go. We all deserve damnation. Not one of us. Even if you've made a good confession, you won't go to heaven because you made a good confession. You'll go to heaven because Jesus looked at you on the cross and took your sins and my sins and paid the penalty. By grace, let no one boast. So that's what it means, let no one boast. That's what it means, let no one boast. About you, your sinfulness, me, my sinfulness, how bad I am. Just boast about the mercy of God. So once you truly come to experience that, to sit there. So again, this is always in the chapel, right? So we just bring it here. It's in the chapel 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. The only time we move it over here is for Divine Mercy Sunday for this adoration. So when you're feeling crazy, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling self-pity, when you're feeling you're the worst sinner that ever existed, when you're feeling you don't feel forgiven, when you're feeling you're not worthy, when you're feeling, you go over to the chapel. Jesus is there. But you look into the eyes of mercy. If you have this picture, when you're home, look into the eyes of mercy and say thank you. And say, Jesus, I trust in you. I don't trust in me. I don't trust in what I've done. Jesus, I trust in you. When you're getting afraid, when you're getting anxious, Jesus, I trust in you. And look into the eyes that look at you from the cross. And then decide today that not only will you receive that mercy, but that you and I will be instruments of that mercy. And so, again, as I've told you before, but really, really do it. When you say your Divine Mercy Chaplet, and how often should you say your Divine Mercy Chaplet? Every day. First thing I do every morning. First thing comes out of my mouth. And we all know why. Mercy. But to not just waste it on yourself, have mercy on me and on the whole world, have mercy on me and on the whole world. But pray for those. Begin and write the list of all those people you haven't forgiven yet. Because there are people you haven't forgiven yet. I was quite surprised myself the other day. I was sitting there thinking, and I always go around saying, I forgive everybody, no big deal. And then there was somebody I had to do something for, and I'm thinking, I don't have a forgiving heart towards this person. I'm thinking, I pride myself on my mercy. I wasn't very merciful, and it was just the Lord just took me in. He said, see that? See that how you are. So, very simple. When there's someone the Lord has brought up, write that person's name down for someone you haven't forgiven. If someone you're angry at. If there's someone who has hurt you. Even if you think you've forgiven them. Well, would you go and you want them to sit next to you forever in heaven? No, okay, you better write that person's name down. And then say a whole Divine Mercy Chaplet using their name. Right? So it could be because of a sorrowful passion. Whoever the person is, Cindy. Because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on Cindy and on the whole world. Because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on Cindy and on the whole world. Because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on Cindy and on the whole world. Or Joe, because of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on Joe and on the whole world. Whatever. Say the whole Divine Mercy Chaplet for the person who has hurt you. For the person you haven't forgiven. For the person you really hate in your heart. Now, what are you doing when you're doing that? You're with Jesus on the cross, and you're looking at that person who he looked at with the eyes of mercy. And you're begging God the Father to have mercy on them and on the whole world. You become the instrument of the mercy of God by saying that chaplet for someone else. You're looking at them with the same eyes of mercy. What a gift that we can join Christ on the cross when we say the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And bring that mercy to people who are in need of mercy just as much as I'm in need of mercy. Got it? Get it? Gonna do it? Try it. You'll like it. May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen.